This morning we're going to be looking at, primarily anyway, we're going to be looking at our epistle reading where Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. And he's addressing some problems that they had there because, well, they're a church that had human beings in it, so it had problems. Had some problems that I've never run across in a church, but I've never run across a church that didn't have problems of some sort. And so he's looking at creating an environment for these people where they have a deeper understanding of what it means to be part of this community that they're part of. First, the local body, much like this one, and then the larger body of Christ. And he uses the metaphor of the human body, which is a very helpful metaphor for us. First of all, a brief word on metaphors. Much like analogies, eventually it'll break down or it'll start causing some problems. So we have to be careful about that. And it's a metaphor because that's how we think. Whether we like it or not, we think in figures of speech and metaphors and similes and those sorts of things. And this is how we understand and interpret the world. So it's not too surprising that we're going to hear metaphors in Scripture, and this is one of them. And Paul is telling the people at Corinth and then subsequently telling us that the church, the local church, the local community of faith, is very much like a human body. I'm glad he chose that because, well, I understand a human body, not particularly, you know, we're not perfectly, of course, but I have one, and so do you. We all have one. We understand how it works together. And one of the things that Paul is trying to help people understand is that in the same way that your body works together and has no indispensable parts, like the church, or so is the church. It's easy for us, at least now and then, to think that there are some parts of our body that we could do without, particularly the parts that are irritating us the most at this particular moment. But there are no parts of our body that are just indispensable, that have no purpose whatsoever, where we can just pretend they're not there. Perhaps the best illustration of this, at least one of the best ones I've come across, was back in the 30s, there was a dominant pitcher in Major League Baseball named Dizzy Dean. A character in many ways. Read about him if you're so inclined later. He was very entertaining in many ways, but a terrific baseball pitcher. And he had an injury at one point to what many of us would probably consider, as far as things we can see with our own eyes on our own body, one of the least important parts of us, namely our smallest toe. You just think, well, little toe, I mean, yeah, it's there. You don't want it to hurt or anything, but really, what purpose does it serve? Well, Dizzy Dean injured his little toe. And being a man and being back in the 30s, he didn't rehab it right or didn't wait for it to be healed properly and went back to pitching before he was fully back to normal. And that little toe injury changed the way he threw a baseball, which injured his arm, which prematurely ended his career. The little toe, what difference can it make? Well, it made a lot of difference there. And it helps us remember that the human body is this unbelievably complex arrangement of things, all of which matter. Even the things that at one point we thought didn't matter, like our tonsils, turn out to have a purpose. I think the jury's still out in the appendix, but it does some things we're beginning to realize. You can't just take it out because it's there. The human body hangs together, and all of its parts contribute to the whole. Paul draws our attention to this by, well, what's actually kind of amusing in some ways, where he anthropomorphizes the particular parts of our body. And I know when I was younger, when I heard this read, it tended to be a bit of a distraction for me, because when I heard somebody say, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you, or earlier on, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? When I heard those sorts of things, my immediate thought was just, well, I wonder what a human body that was all eye would look like. And I'd think about that for a while. Then I'd imagine if my various body parts could talk. And then I sort of missed the rest of the lesson, which I don't think was the intention, but I somehow managed to survive. But it's an interesting way to think about it. And when we think about it that way, we realize it's absurd. If the head says to the legs, I don't need you, we know that's absurd because a head can't get around on its own. So for the head to say it doesn't need legs is crazy. In the same way that the legs to say I don't need the ears or the eyes or whatever else it might be, it's kind of crazy. And so of course we would never do that. But we do it in the church. And we do it not because we're bad people, not because we're uncaring or anything like that. We do it because we forget that we are interconnected. And the thing about this problem, if you want to call it a problem in the church, is that it's not so much that any of us looks at someone else and says, well, we certainly don't need that person because whatever they do is unimportant. No, we almost always, if this comes up at all, we address it towards ourselves. And we say, well, whatever I do in the church, it's not that important. But it is. Every part of our human body is important, and every part of this body is important. This local community of faith, this congregation, this church, every member, every person here plays a critical role in the ongoing health and success of this congregation. And it's easy sometimes for us to look at what we do just in comparison to what someone else does. And we say, because I don't do that thing, whatever it might be, and it's usually something that we value ourselves, we say, because I can't do that, I guess I just don't matter. And that's not true. It's not true. Everyone in this body of believers has a part to play that can't be easily replaced by someone else. The analogy breaks down, or the metaphor breaks down, because a local body of believers has people coming and going. People go on vacation, people move away to other places, sometimes they die, people come in for whatever reason, and it changes. And it's not the same way that a body, if you suddenly misplace one of your legs, which of course is not possible, but then you get another one back. So, I mean, we have to be careful of when we push this metaphor too far. But we have to remember that this congregation is made up of the people who are in it. And that when Paul calls this the body of Christ, he's carefully chosen that metaphor. He doesn't call it the corporation of Christ. He doesn't call it the school. He doesn't call it a number. He calls it a body, and then goes into great detail, helping us see that every part of it matters, even those parts that we might not consider so valuable. And the we that he's talking about is usually the possessor of that part. I've known a lot of people who are professionally religious over the years. Pastors, ministers, whatever you want to call them. I call myself semi-professionally religious because I don't do this full time. I don't know if that counts or not, but I've known lots and lots of professionally religious people. That's what they do. And I have known almost none who aren't fully aware of how much they need everyone in the congregation. And it's not that they need them so they'll fill the pews. It's because what the people who get paid by the church do is one thing. And it's a small thing compared to the overall work of the church. And they can't do all of it. For the church to continue to do what it's called to do, for this congregation to do what God has called St. Mark's to do, all of us have to be working together, doing what it is that our part might be. And only you can do your part. And sometimes you may think your part doesn't matter. And sometimes you may think that people wouldn't notice if you didn't do it at all. But we would. We would. It might take a little bit longer than if we notice that, well, I don't show up. I mean, that's pretty obvious. When there's nobody talking up here, it's pretty obvious that they're not there. So sometimes it takes us a little bit longer to realize that that particular gift that you bring is missing. But we always notice. Always. Because the church is made up of people who just bring that gift of compassion. A gift of compassion is not a noisy kind of gift, like mine is. Or a gift of teaching, where people stand up and everyone pays attention to one person at a time. A gift of compassion is much more subtle. It's much more profound as well in how it affects everyone. People who have that gift of compassion make all of us better when they're here. Same with the gifts of faith. People with gifts of giving, all of those things that we don't see the same way we see teachers, worship leaders, people with those gifts of administration and other things that make them elders or members of committees that are easy to see. We don't see all of the gifts that make this congregation such a wonderful place and such a wonderful example of the body of Christ. But we have to have it in the same way that we have to have both of our legs. The human body can do without things, to be sure, but it's not the same. It's not as healthy. It's not as able as it would be otherwise. And we need each other. It's not that we put up with each other. It's not that we tolerate each other. It's not that we think, okay, we'll let you do your thing. We need each other. If we gave the body and all of its various parts of voice, you would never hear the eyes saying, well, you ears, if you really feel the need to hear, go ahead. Because all of these things work together. And sometimes we don't even know how or why they work together, but they do. To use another interesting baseball analogy, what's the most important thing? What's the most important sense about catching fly balls? Well, it's your eyes. But you know, you can catch fly balls with one eye. It's pretty hard, but you can. You know how hard it is to catch fly balls if you can't hear? It's virtually impossible. If you cover up one ear, you will find it extremely difficult to catch fly balls. They've done this with professional baseball players, and they realize that our ears triangulate this from the sound, and they work with our eyes to get us to the right place to catch the ball. Nobody thought that before. They thought, hearing? What's hearing? Well, turns out hearing helps you catch baseballs. Who'd have thought? Well, if we can't figure out something as trivial and as obvious as how to catch baseballs, why do we think we can somehow decide who belongs and who doesn't belong in the church, particularly when we're talking about ourselves? And yet often we will hear people dismiss what they bring to the church as irrelevant. Or they describe themselves as someone who only takes from the church and never gives back. And that's never the case. Every single one of us is as critical to the functioning of this body as every one of our parts are to our own body. I like the metaphor of the body. Not only does it allow for some fun speculation about talking eyes and things, which I just enjoy, but I like it because it frees us from the temptation to regard others is better or worse than ourselves. Because when I start looking at this congregation, at this body of believers, as a body, it reminds me that I am a part of it. And my part is important, but it's not fundamentally more important than any of yours. That I need you every bit as much as you need me, and as we all need each other. We come together on a Sunday not just because it's convenient, but because when we're together, we're more than the sum of our parts. That singing hymns together, that saying prayers together, that sitting in silence together is different than singing on my own, than praying on my own, than sitting in silence on my own, as it is for all of you, because when we're together, it's a different thing. And we're only together when every member of the body is here. We need each other because we want to be the best body we can be. We want to be the most complete body of believers that we can be. Because when we're like that, that's when we can provide whatever it is that this community of faith can provide that none other can. So don't discount your part in the body. I'm not too worried about you discounting someone else's. We tend not to do that. We're so much harder on ourselves. But please, don't discount all that you bring on Sundays and all the other days of the week to this community of faith, this body of Christ. Because without you, we're incomplete. We need each other to be the complete and full body of Jesus. Amen.